Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. You know, dating as a teen is such a difficult thing to do. Do you remember what it was like? I do. It seemed so much easier, though, when I was younger, because things have changed a lot with the advent of new technologies. Social media, smartphones, I mean, they made dating that much more complicated. And it's led to different kinds of violence and bullying, unfortunately. There's a new study from Florida Atlantic University that found that a quarter of teens have reported experiencing some form of violence, specifically online. Joining me now is Dr. Samir Hinduja. He's the lead author of the study and a professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at FAU. He's also the co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center. Dr. Hinduja, it's great to have you back.
Hey, thank you for having me.
What is digital dating abuse, and how is it different from, I guess, other forms of dating abuse?
Yeah, digital dating abuse is, you think about technology like texting or social media, and let's say I use it against my romantic partner repeatedly to harass them with the intent of controlling them or intimidating them or annoying them or threatening them. And I'd say it's different than real world violence because it's happening online, but what's interesting is that we found a strong overlap between the two.
You've worked with young boys and girls in elementary school, middle school, and high school that have dealt with digital dating abuse. What does digital dating abuse look like for different age groups, or is it the same across the board?
Well, the first thing comes to mind is, put me right in the center of an example. Let's say that I take my wife, Rachel, out for a date. She loves fondue, and so let's say we go to the melting pot, and she runs to the restroom, but she keeps her phone on the table. And I pick it up, and I'm rifling through her text messages and her Snapchat logs just to make sure she's not talking with another guy. Now, she shouldn't be, but it's very wrong of me to invade her privacy like that. Another example would be, we're out on date night, and I say, hey, love, I'm going to keep your phone with me in my pocket so that you're not distracted by notifications or texts that are coming in. Now, she shouldn't be because it's date night. She should be focused on me. But it's, again, very controlling to physically possess her device. And so it could look like that. It could look like a threat in a cell phone text message. It could relate to a post that somebody makes on social media to make fun of or threaten or humiliate their partner. Could be related to a private message, a private picture, a sexual picture that you take that you've received in trust, but then you post it without permission. And so that truly can happen across different ages.
Again, you, as I mentioned, you authored this study, and it was published in the Journal of Interpersonal Violence on Digital Dating Abuse. This was interesting. It found that males were significantly more likely to have experienced digital dating abuse. Why are males more likely to experience this form of abuse?
Yeah, we found that incredibly puzzling. And so as I'm speculating, I just think about stereotypically, we may assume that in a heterosexual relationship, you know, females, they're used to drama. They may experience more drama and conflict in their normal interpersonal relationships, let's say with other girls. And so they use the medium and the environments within technology to perhaps deal with conflict with their significant others. And so that's perhaps why males might be victimized a little bit more often.
Interesting how you describe the difference between digital abuse and, you know, the difference between physical abuse. But did you find anything in the study that tells us that digital abuse leads to physical abuse?
I had mentioned earlier that there's a strong overlap. We found that about 4 out of 5 of the students who have been targets of digital dating abuse had also been the target of traditional dating abuse. So as another real world example, let's say that I am invading your privacy and going through your phone right now because I'm insecure and jealous and I don't want you talking with somebody else. Well, it's very likely, it seems that there's a strong overlap of me possibly doing something physical to you the next day.
We talked about differences in age. Did you find any differences in race, ethnicity, or differences in, and you touched on a little bit a moment ago on the differences between heterosexual and homosexual relationships?
Yeah, so we didn't find any differences related to race or ethnicity, but what we have found as we've studied digital dating abuse, as well as sexting and cyberbullying and some of these other issues, is that those in the sexual minority, for whatever reason, they are a vulnerable population and they tend to be involved more so as victims and even as aggressors than those who are in the sexual majority.
I wondered if you'd heard a story that, you know, from the kids that you talk to and mentor, a story that just shocked you.
Most of the stories that I've heard recently truly involve the sending of private pictures, sexual pictures, or videos, which then get released. And when I get a chance to speak with youth and have that platform, I really try to encourage them that, okay, you've fallen in love. This is the best thing ever. You don't want to lose this, and you want to deepen intimacy in that relationship as well. And so you very well may want to send an image. But I have to tell you, if you just look at the statistics, in middle school and high school, unfortunately, these relationships, they don't last, and they often don't end well, even though you think you'll stay BFFs. And so when they don't end well, and when hearts have been stomped on, then there's this desire for revenge, and then those pictures and images and videos get shared. And so I would say the most frequent form of digital dating abuse that we're seeing as we work with kids has to do with the sending of private pictures and violating of trust.
I'm talking with Dr. Samir Hinduja. He's the lead author of the study Digital Dating Abuse Among a National Sample of U.S. Youth. He's also a professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at FAU. You know what, Dr. Hinduja, I wanted to ask about really young kids, elementary school kids. What did you find in that group?
So our research doesn't specifically focus on elementary schoolers. It focuses on middle schoolers and high schoolers. But with that said, we work with elementary schoolers all of the time. And I find that from a very young age, they do want to get involved in romantic relationships. Now, of course, they don't know what they're doing, just like I didn't know what I was doing in middle school or high school. I didn't know what love is. I didn't know what commitment is. But we know that there's a lot of pressures from society and media messages and celebrity culture to get involved in a relationship. And I do remember having my first crush in third grade. And so the point here is that when it comes to a fourth grader or fifth grader, it's important to start having conversations about relationships, what is healthy and what is dysfunctional. And I think that many times educators and many parents are negligent in that area because they're not really thinking about the reality of it happening.
As I mentioned, you are the co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center, and a lot of the work the center does is about awareness. What kind of education does the center provide?
We provide a host of resources related to prevention and response because we know that many youth-serving adults, whether they're educators or mental health professionals or law enforcement or parents, in the community, they get freaked out when it comes to technology and social media and some of these ills that they hear about. And so we want to encourage them and empower them and equip them with research-based strategies that they can easily implement in the homes, whether it comes to building empathy or resilience or helping with moral development, just building better communication. That goes a long way in sort of preventing some of these problems down the road.
Let's break this down into two factors, parents and schools. And so let's start with parents and what you talk to parents about and what's a healthy level, I guess, of, monitoring of what your kids are doing.
We want parents to be involved in the lives of their kids. And truly, that just involves communication and conversation. And I know that it's hard to have your kid pay attention to you without them rolling their eyes or running over to their device and picking it up. But if you can catch them in a captive moment, whether it's eating together at the dinner table with the devices away, I would want them to ask, hey, if you're in a relationship, how is your relationship going? And if they're not in a relationship, then they can say, hey, what are your friends' dating relationships like? And then get into the more probing questions, such as, hey, what are some behaviors that would be okay in a dating relationship? And what are some that you might have a problem with? You might even ask, have you ever seen any kind of abusive behavior between a couple of your peers at school who are going out? And then I truly think it's important to ask even deeper questions. For example, why do you think one person might abuse someone that they've professed love towards? And also, why might a person stay in an abusive relationship? And I think that over time, the child will then begin to realize that, my goodness, my parents are sort of in the know related to this sort of stuff. They're not judging or criticizing me. They're just wanting to have open, candid dialogue about these topics. And now I know that I can come to them and they're not going to fly off the handle if I have to deal with this personally.
What about schools? What role does the school play in helping students not just deal with the abuse, but in cultivating these relationships? Is this something that educators should be doing?
Absolutely. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, and so I'm thankful that more attention is given to this topic during this month. But I'll also say that in schools, we seem to disproportionately focus on bullying and cyberbullying and sexting, and I think Those are incredibly important topics. I spend my professional life focusing on them, but it doesn't feel like we're talking about healthy relationships as much as we should. And so, educational programs in schools, research has shown that they can change belief systems around dating violence, online and offline, as they focus on reducing rape myth acceptance and gender violence acceptance. Plus, I think these programs play a big role in emboldening bystanders to provide support for friends. If my best friend or even someone that I know in my class is in a relationship, but I see that they're not being treated really well, yeah, I could mind my own business and keep my head down, but I hope that we compel students to action whenever they see any form of victimization. And then finally, we want schools and educators to teach youth how to stay safe in romantic relationships, not just physical safety, but also online. They can use the blocks and the filters and the report function on social media to get help. And we don't ever want them to feel helpless because there's usually a solution if they'll reach out to the right person.
Earlier, you talked about, you gave me an example of, what that abuse might be like, is if you take somebody's phone and you're looking through to see what they're doing, you're breaking into their privacy. But when it comes to parents and teachers, is there a line of privacy? Because, we have to be watching what our kids are doing. As a parent, I want to see, where are my kids going online? As a teacher, and we talked about this, educators seeing what young people are doing online, because sometimes that may be a clue as to, violent activity. Where's the line for parents and educators on passing that privacy to see what's really going on?
Sure. When it comes to educators, I would encourage that they just sort of keep their ear to the ground and hear about rumblings and rumors and issues across the student body rather than invade the privacy of a phone. They don't have that level of immunity to go through another device unless there are specific rules and policy violations in the discipline manual. I would get law enforcement involved. I would get an administrator involved if necessary in order to do those sorts of investigations. I think they should rather focus on prevention. And then when you're thinking about parents, yeah, I would say that many parents should have the ability to go through their child's phone if their child is young. Their child should give them passwords. You should know the lock code of your child's phone so that you can open it up every so often to do spot checks. Not that you have the time to do a spot check and go through their camera roll or read in careful detail all of the texts, but every so often there should be some sort of deterrent presence in you being able to do that. There's also software that's available that can help a little bit, but software is a short-term solution, and a better solution would be to continue to have a great relationship with your kids so that they come to you whenever they deal with anything unpleasant or uncomfortable or creepy.
And we talk about parents and teachers and their role, but what about peers? And I wondered, if young people having these kind of conversations with their peers is helpful.
I feel like peers can have very important conversations with their friends, but I'll also say that maybe those peers are not really receiving the best messages from the models that we have in society. Maybe those peers don't have a great relationship that they're witnessing in their home between their mom and their dad, for example. Maybe they're not getting the best models from, again, reality television or celebrity culture. So I just hope that it's quality advice as these peers are pouring into their friends. And I think the big picture would be, yes, we want youth to step up. If your friend is struggling in any way, I hope that you pick up on that. Otherwise, I'm not really sure how involved you're in their lives, and maybe you shouldn't really be considered a friend. Check in with them, and not just check in with them to make sure that they're okay, but thankfully, I'm seeing in recent months and years a trend towards kindness. I hope that continues. Now, kindness is a difficult topic to discuss because very easily it can become lame or uncool, but as more and more influencers, as more and more youth step up and speak towards the importance of kindness, I think we can make progress in that area.
Dr. Samir Hinduja, again, is the lead author of the study Digital Dating Abuse Among a National Sample of U.S. Youth. He's also a professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Florida Atlantic University. Dr. Hinduja, thank you so much for the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that is our program for this Wednesday, February 19th. Coming up tomorrow on the show. Tonight, the Democratic presidential candidates face off in Nevada ahead of the caucuses this weekend. You may recognize one of the moderators, Telemundo's Vanessa Hawk. She's been a leading voice in environmental reporting on television and is the first environment reporter to moderate a presidential debate. We'll talk to her about what happens tonight. Plus, this week is the start of the South Beach Food and Wine Festival. We're going to learn about the newest trends in hospitality and how South Florida is a leader in the culinary field of tourism. All of that coming up tomorrow on the program. Again, remember, you can find us on WLRN.org if you want to listen to any of our old shows, or find us on iTunes. Just look up WLRN Sundial. Listen when you'd like. And we always love hearing from you. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Tell us what you think of the show or any of the topics that we should be talking about. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.